From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 20th day of November 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Sue Martin. She's in for Jackie Vakes today, who's out of the office. Sue is with Ag and Investment Services out of Clarion, Iowa. And a bit later in the program, Gary Schnitke will join us to discuss the prospects for this year's net farm income in Illinois and for next as well. And as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Drew Lerner. And along the way today, we'll hear from a Mosaic representative. I talked with him last week at the Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City about the closure of the lock and dam system on the Illinois River next summer and what that might mean for the fall delivery of fertilizer. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I hear the numbers as they finished in Chicago. December corn today down 3.25 cents. The March at 3.5 lower. That December 366 3/4 the settlement price. The March at 377 1/4. May futures 3 3/4 lower at 383. July down 3 1/4. September down 2. December of next year, a penny and 3/4 lower. It finished at 394 1/4. January beans were down 6.5 cents. That lead option finished at 905. The March at 919, 5.5 lower. May futures down 4 3/4 at 932, and July down 4 at 943 3/4. November beans 948 3/4, a penny lower. Bean oil futures up 24 cents at 3120, and the bean meal for the day down 220 at $299.80. December wheat up 3.5 at 515.5. July at 523 1/4, a 2 higher, and July wheat for the hard red up 1 1/4 at 446 3/4. Live cattle futures about 52.5 cents higher. Feeder cattle unchanged, a nickel higher for the day. And lean hogs were down $1.70. They finished at $60.45. Crude oil $1.70 higher. Ethanol just about unchanged. Heating oil 3 6/10 higher. Gasoline up a nickel for the day. And natural gas also 5 cents higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average off around 135 points at this hour. The dollar is up 0.06, and the gold futures down $3.30. We're now joined by Sue Martin. She's with Ag and Investment Services out of Clarion, Iowa, to help us take a look at the marketplace. Hey, thanks so much for being with us. We sure do appreciate that.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Well, just a reminder to folks, if they want to hear you, they can do that on our air every day, before 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But we're going to have a little discussion now about the marketplace. Let's start with where Clarion is located in Iowa.
Well, Clarion is north central Iowa. We're just north of Highway 20. So actually, we're right on Highway 3. We're about 80 miles north of Des Moines.
You're in that, what we would call the golden triangle up there of corn production. How are things going?
Well, they're going pretty good. Farmers are telling me that the one thing I continue to hear is if the corn's still in the fields, it's pretty wet yet and not drying down very fast. But basically, I would guess this to be maybe 15% left in the fields around here on corn. And we're starting to see some piles at elevators starting to show up. So, you know, that's a sign you're into that last portion of the harvest too.
How's the basis been acting there? It's been strong in our part of the world and certainly to the west, or to the east, I mean.
Well, you're stronger than we are, but we still have a pretty decent basis. But your basis is by far much better than ours. We're not premium. We're not equal to the board, nor are we premium like I hear out in Illinois and Indiana. So you do have, you're enjoying a much better basis, but consequently, you also had a tough year to get crops in and now to get them back out. Surprisingly, Illinois was ahead of Iowa getting crops out. That surprised me. I didn't think that would be the case. But the forecast coming is not good starting tonight for some rains. And they're talking possibly heavy rains all the way in through tomorrow, then turning colder on Friday, and then nice Saturday and Sunday. We seem to get good weekends. So That's a blessing. But we're like 60 degrees today. So we're having some good days, and farmers are hitting it hard. The one thing we're seeing is field work is staying done pretty much right behind the combine. And that's a difference from last year. So farmers are trying hard to get at least the field work done as they harvest. And then that way next year when they go into spring, they'll have that out of the way. They just need to put on anhydrous or their, you know, fertilizers.
How did yield go in the area for both corn and soybeans?
I would say pretty good overall. We were either equal to last year or a little bit over, and so for both crops. So that was a blessing. You know, in other areas you get further north and it's not quite that way. But for us in this area here in north central Iowa, we were pretty decent. We enjoyed some rains, and then we seemed to dry down for a little while, which was helpful for us. And now we're just catching those rains, but we're not so saturated that you can't get in and get stuff done. So, and very few beans left in the field at all. You know, we went up towards Mason City over the weekend. That's about, I want to say maybe 60 miles to the north east of us, and we did see a few bean fields still left in the fields, and then maybe more corn up that way. They were later getting in and getting stuff done. They just seemed to catch all those heavy rains.
Are there any particular reasons that the market moved lower today?
Well, I think what we're seeing here, and the same thing happened in beans and happened in hogs, I think the market was responding to disappointment or, looking at the anticipation that we're not going to probably get a phase one done. It's just dragging on and dragging on, and the concern that President Trump probably is going to be putting tariffs on come December 15th. And just, you don't hear any good positive news to really cement this, which meant all along they weren't going to be meeting in Chile anyway at the APEC meeting and signing an agreement there. They might have been meeting there, but they wouldn't have been signing no phase one. And so that's a disappointment. And of course, China's newspapers are coming out with different things and comments that are very, some of that you always have to take with a grain of salt because it's propaganda. But on the same token, it does show a tilt that China's not real happy about things. Well, guess what? The closer you get into December, middle of December, latter part of December, a lot of the products that they're buying right now may be getting shipped into China because they have their Chinese Lunar New Year on January 25th. Well, you know, once they get what they need, I don't see China being real amiable in working with us. I think the problem will be is they'll shift their focus to South America and be feeling that they're going to be more able to get what they need out of there. Should the weather turn very adverse in South America, that could give China a change of heart. But for right now, I guess I would have to join the camp that I'm starting to think we won't see a phase one done.
Do you think that USDA is very close on its acreage and yield numbers for both corn and soybeans?
No. I think the yield is still less on corn, but maybe not majorly. Maybe another bushel down, something like that. On beans, I'm thinking the yield might be a little bit more lower yet. The bean yields, yes, they were decent in this area. But when I talk to producers out in Nebraska, the one thing I continue to hear is well, the crop would be decent, but it certainly isn't what it was a year ago. And so the yields are much less than what they expected, and the same way rings true for beans. While they might have a 65 or 68 yield, they were in the 80s a year ago, and sometimes maybe the very low 90s. So, you know, and then the corn yields are decisively lower as well. And, you know, Nebraska was supposed to be the cat's meow this year. They were supposed to be the garden spot, and that's not sounding like that's coming off that way. Dry land did better than irrigated ground, even though they weren't having to irrigate this year. The dry land, of course, just had a better year.
Only a few seconds left. North Dakota, will they manage to get most of the crop out, or will they have to harvest in the spring much of the crop?
I'm going to say they're going to have to end up harvesting much of it in the spring. There's just too much left to get out. Their progress is so slow in both South and North Dakota. And the 16 to 30 day forecast is talking a fair amount of moisture, mostly in the situation of being snow. So it doesn't bode well. Even the sugar beet farmers are going to see a lot of their sugar beets rot in the ground. And it was interesting to see the USDA make a comment here on Monday that they were watching the situation because sugar beet farmers are dealing with the weather of too much rain. Then you have the sugarcane farmer dealing with frost, freezing temperatures, and maybe some rain. And the crop size, which WASDE kind of indicated was going to be down decisively this year. So, and they were saying, we won't let you be too tight on supplies of sugar. Does that mean then that they'll find a way to bring some in from Brazil? Probably.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
You have a great day.
You too. Sue Martin is with Ag and Investment Services out of Clarion, Iowa. Last week, while I was at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri, I was able to catch up with a representative of Mosaic. They're the fertilizer company and provide the bulk of the fertilizer, especially dry fertilizer, that makes its way into the Midwest. Other fertilizers as well. Taj Davis, who's from Petersburg, Illinois, was staffing the booth. I asked him just exactly how Mosaic was planning to deal with the closures on the Illinois River next summer. Recall that the lock and dam system will be updated, and it may or may not be open by the time we get to the fall, and that could create clearly a fertilizer problem then.
So it's something that we are closely monitoring and anticipating the closure, and anticipating that it may go longer than they say may stretch into the fall. So we want to make sure that we have our warehouses full, and hopefully our customers' warehouse is full, but then also we'll look at other forms of transportation, mainly rail. So we'll look at our warehouses that can be served by rail and be able to resupply the Midwest that way.
So that means you'll have to have warehouses empty from the spring and turn them around very, very quickly.
Yeah, we'll have to turn them around, but that's not that unusual that after a good spring season that we'll do a fill and make sure we get those filled up, and it's just going to be more important this year that we make sure that we're ahead of the game and try to stay ahead of it. But like I said, we're monitoring the situation, want to make sure that we're full, but then if we have to go to some alternative transportation, mainly rail, we'll do so.
Do you need farmers to do anything with their fertilizer dealers?
It's always good if farmers are, you know, communicating with their retailers and talking about plans and demand. So, you know, that can go through the system. We have a good understanding of demand. But, I mean, we are planning for a very strong fall demand, as we usually have. So I would just say have that good conversation with your retailer.
Taj Davis is with Mosaic. I spoke with him during the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri, last week. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Gary Schnitke now joins us, ag economist here on campus. Good afternoon to you, Gary. Thanks for being with us. You've written another article for the Farm Doc Daily website. You can find it at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. This week's article is titled Projected Net Incomes on Illinois Grain Farms in 2019 and 2020. You start with a little history.
So we look at history of incomes on grain farms in Illinois from 1996 to 2018 when we have actual numbers, and we see three distinct periods of income during that period. From 1996 to 2005, average income on Illinois farms averaged $55,000. From 2006 to 2013, when we had higher commodity prices because of ethanol growing demand and shortfall someplace else, we had $189,000 of income, much higher. And now since 2014, we've averaged $79,000 of income with a lot of variability.
A lot of variability in there. And then you project incomes for the 2019 growing season. Is it outside of that 2013-18 level?
So it's still within the 2013-18 level. So just to put some perspective on it, last year we had $147,000 of income, which was reasonably good for the period since 2013. MFP payments helped a lot, obviously. MFP payments helped a lot. This year, we're probably looking at something below $50,000 on average for income per farm in 2019. The lower, what causes that primarily are much lower yields this year. The lower yields with roughly the same prices as last year, actually a little bit higher prices than 2018, but lower yields are the primary factor, and we would be in much worse shape without MFP payments this year. We would be negative income.
So a lot of people will be listening to this thinking, but I thought the farm sector was in real trouble, but you're talking about $150,000 and $50,000 and $89,000. Those aren't terribly bad incomes.
Well, $50,000 of income will cause our farms to go south as far as financial position. We roughly have to have $80,000 to $90,000 of income per year for a farm to remain stable. And remember that a farm needs to be providing income for capital purchases so we can keep our levels up at the where they are. And we also have to make debt repayments from that $80,000 to $90,000 of income. So if we don't have something positive by a large margin, we're going backwards.
And in 2020, you did some projections?
2020, we would be looking at very low incomes for 2020. And that is based currently on same prices we're looking at 2019, you know, sort of that $380, $390 corn, $9 soybeans. If we get trend yields next year and no MFP payments, we would be looking at negative incomes. Positive incomes would result from either having much higher yields, which has happened in the last several years, or another round of MFP payments. So we need one of those two things to happen before us to have a positive income year next year.
We'll see whether either one of those things happen. Will you be discussing this as your 2020 IFAS Illinois Farm Economic Summit topic area?
Yes, we will be. We'll be doing income outlook there, and also we will be looking backwards as well. What did we learn from the 2019 year and what we did with Prevent Plant and everything of that nature?
And so those are coming up the week of the 16th of December. We'll be out at five different places.
That's right. Those are coming up quicker than you think.
Man, if people want to sign up, they can do that right now at the Farm Doc Daily website. That's easy enough to do. You'll just watch for the Illinois Farm Economic Summit up at the top of the page. The cost is $80. It's a half-day event. We finish up at the noon hour with lunch, and all the things are included in that $80. We'll be in Mount Vernon on Monday the 16th and then travel to Springfield, Peoria, DeKalb, and wrap up here in Champaign, Illinois on the 20th. I'm looking forward to that and talking to you there.
Very good, Todd.
That's Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist from the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's check the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hey, Drew, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for having me here. Hopefully the weather out your way is doing fairly well today.
It has. It's gotten really quite nice, actually. We started off a little gray, sunshine out at this point. I'm wondering, though, whether that'll stay with us.
Well, yeah, you're right. There is an insurgence of moisture coming up from the Gulf of Mexico right now. We are seeing a big warm-up take place across a big part of the country, and that is a precursor to the next precipitation event, which is going to get underway tonight in the plains in the western Corn Belt. And as we go through the day tomorrow, we'll see the precipitation work its way through Illinois and Indiana and ultimately Michigan, and end up in parts of the Atlantic coastal states. But there will be a new disturbance on the tail end of this frontal boundary in the southern plains that will evolve Thursday night going into Friday, and that's going to cause a second wave of energy to occur through the Delta and the Tennessee River Basin area, maybe reaching as far north as portions of the Ohio River Valley as we go from Friday into early Saturday morning. So between these two events, unfortunately, with the more moisture that we certainly don't need right now, Some of the Great Lakes region, of course, is still dealing with some lingering snow on the ground, so the fieldwork is still not moving along very well there. And those areas that have seen the snow melt recently, well, there's not enough time here to dry up the ground real well before this new storm system comes across the area. So it's not a very good scenario. And the unfortunate thing about all of this is that we'll see just a 2 or 3 day period of dry weather, and then yet another storm system comes along next week, early to midweek, that will produce another wave of rain and some snow across parts of the region. So it's not looking very good. And unfortunately, the month of December is probably going to be similar, with a lot of disturbances moving from southwest to northeast through the middle of the country.
So just to recap, a weather system crossing the northern part of the Corn Belt, and then one will come through the southern part of the Corn Belt, and a third one after that. That probably will keep farmers out of the field, at least for tillage. And I suppose it's likely to hamper harvest?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And our temperatures, even though they might be warming up a little bit, certainly today ahead of this event and between the systems over the weekend will warm up a little bit, but I just don't think we're going to see enough of an extended period where we can firm the ground in a major way and get folks back out in the fields aggressively. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be stop and go, and it's going to be even slow for when they are going with it.
Is the weather more cooperative for farmers in South America?
Oh, yes, that is the case down that way. You know, we've had pockets of dryness in Argentina off and on throughout the spring season, and most of the crop planting is behind the last year's pace by a fair amount. And that's because of dryness for the most part. We are seeing a much improved environment for shower and thunderstorm activity in Argentina as we go forward through the coming week. Almost everybody will get rain, and the majority of the regions that have been dry will at least get some temporary relief. Follow-up moisture will still be necessary, but this is a major step in the right direction, and I think there'll be some aggressive planting that will take place immediately following this period. In Brazil, we've had some very good rainfall in the last couple of weeks, and the topsoil moisture situation has become very good. There are still some pockets out there that maybe could use a little more rain, a couple of spots, maybe a little wet, but I don't think that's very common at all. And the forecast for the next 10 days to 2 weeks will promote additional shower and thunderstorm activity in most of the production areas. For the next 5 or 6 days, southern Brazil will probably not see enough rain to counter evaporation. There may be some attention given to the drying that's going to occur, but it looks very good to me that as we get into next week, showers and thunderstorms will return to all of those southern areas that dry down this week. So that leaves them in good shape. Of course, the exception is in the northeastern corner of the country, where there will be a continuation of very dry conditions, but this is a minor production area, probably representing maybe 5 to 7% of the overall soybean crop that's going to be dealing with ongoing dryness for a while.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll check in with you again next week.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Speaking of weeks, the week of December the 16th, I'll be on the road with the Ag Economist for the annual Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Now, your banker is most likely to be there. I'm positive they will be, in fact. You probably should be, too. The Ag Economist will put on a great show. Scott Irwin will be there. The title of his talk is, Yeah, That Just Happened, and he'll be followed up with Gary Schnitke's talk about What Did We Learn with Delayed Planting. We'll also take a look at what the outlook might be for price with Dale Latz on farm income and making the ARC and PLC decision with Jonathan Koppist and trade policies with Nick Paulson. And, of course, we'll do grain price outlook with Todd Hubbs. That's the Illinois Farm Economics Summit. We'll be on the road the week of the 16th of December. I sure hope you can join us. We'll be in Mount Vernon, Springfield, Peoria, DeKalb, and Champaign. The cost is just $80. You can sign up today. Get your registration done there at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You'll see the links at the top of the page. Again, the cost is $80, and we hope to see you the week of the 16th in Mount Vernon, Springfield, Peoria, DeKalb, and Champaign. My mix Extensions, Todd Gleason.